from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube is the sponsor. I'm going to get to 270K in the Civic next week.
Ooh.
That's what I'm tracking toward. Barring some weird long drive that I have to take this weekend, but...
I took
it's not in the plan.
My son's Corolla to work today because I've got a broken back window in my vehicle, and it wasn't ready yesterday, but that's okay. So I took the Corolla this morning, and it's at 183.
Nice,
solid.
That's really good.
He needs new windshield wipers. I'm like, what is happening here?
That's bro? Easy. No, you just gotta wait. You just gotta wait until like, because if you get new windshield wipers now, the sun's just gonna bake them.
Yeah, but one side is like broken off. Like I went to clean, and it's like, hey man, what if it does rain out of nowhere and you can't like if you had a passenger, they can't look out the window. It's all just smudged.
I wish there was a way to convey to teenagers. And I know that this is what every person who reaches their 30s thinks.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly what I would have done as a teenager.
Oh yeah.
Exactly what I would have done. Like, oh, windshield wipe, all right, whatever.
I don't even know how to replace a windshield wiper, so I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. It's not. I'm not going to. Did anyone die? No. All right. Cool.
Yeah. Irresponsible.
And I would just like. Right. It's just totally irresponsible. And I know. And I can sit here and I can go, man, that's got to be frustrating. But at the same time, it's like that's exactly what I would have done.
No, totally.
So I get it. Yeah. But now, I get it rains and my windshield smudges a little bit. I'm like, got to replace those.
Or at least clean them. Like I went to clean it this morning as windshield wiper, and I'm like. There's nothing left. The whole edge is gone. I'm like,
it's just plastic.
It's just like
moving water
it's
around.
Jagged the whole place. And I look, and there's like little pieces of plastic everywhere. Clearly, it's stuck to the windshield. You turn on the windshield wipers, it just busted off the whole lip of the windshield wiper. I'm like, oh, bro. At least say something like, hey, I might need new windshield wipers. I might even have an extra set hiding in the garage.
Right, but you can't say something because then it's like. Why did you tell us? And it becomes a whole thing. You want to get in trouble? Is it a big deal? So yeah, I get it. I know exactly where he's at. I'm not when it comes to cars or doing stuff around the house, not a super like naturally what's the word?
Handy.
Yeah, that's just not my bag. I've gotten better at it, especially since becoming a homeowner.
Yeah.
But YouTube. I learned so many things that it is super easy to do with your car on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
I'm replacing light bulbs. I'm changing air filters. I'm doing it.
I won't do brakes anymore. When I was young, I would do my own brakes all the time, and I'm not doing brakes anymore.
I got a buddy who works on cars. He comes and does my brakes. So there's so many. But windshield wipers were always the thing that I went, I think that's difficult. And I think it probably used to be a little harder than it is now because of the way they make windshield wipers now.
Yeah.
But I YouTube real quick, like replacing which, and I saw how easy it is on my car. This is several years ago. I was like, oh, I'm just going to do that now.
It's literally just.
Yeah, you remove a latch, you pull the thing off, you put the new windshield wiper on, you close the latch. And now it's done. Rocket science. So, but again, I'm coming from a place of, I don't know how to do anything. So I just assume I don't know how to do anything until I YouTube it. And my wife needed new windshield wipers. I needed new windshield wipers. I was like, babe, I got this. I got us. Don't worry. Go down to whatever auto parts store. Went down to Jiffy Lube.
You should have just gone to Jiffy Lube and got your...
I know. I should have. But I go to them for everything else. But I'm not paying to have somebody do my windshield wipers. So I go and I go to the auto parts place and I get my
replacements. Yeah.
I put mine on. They look great. Try them out. Bang, bang. So I go to my wife's car. Same kind of deal. She has a different car. She has a Renegade, old Jeep Renegade.
Okay.
So it's a little different, but same kind of deal. Put them on. Bang. During the winter, it was raining the next day. And she texts me and she goes, I think you put my windshield wipers on wrong. And I was like, what? And she goes, it's just pushing the water around. I can't see. I'm dry and I can't.
Oh, you didn't pull the little.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I'm going, how did I put those on wrong? Like they fit and they looked right. And I didn't test hers because I went, I am a genius now.
Yours had the little plastic.
Yeah, the plastic
strip,
covers.
The plastic
on them.
Strip on the
right.
Edge.
And there's no thing that says make sure to remove the plastic strip because they just assume you're going to do that because you're not a dunce. So, God.
If I go to your house and I look at your TV and I've got a pool.
No, you don't. That I promise you don't. I promise you don't.
You still have the plastic on your TV,
no,
Kyle.
I promise that's not the case because that's annoying because you can see. So yeah, man. So she gets to work and I'm going, okay, just be super careful. I'll come by your office after work. I could be fine. And then she texts me a little bit later after she goes, you didn't take the plastic off, which is worse.
Yeah.
That's so much worse. If I had put them on incorrectly, I can deal with it. First time I'd ever done it. I messed it up. Mistake won't happen again. Taking the plastic off, unboxing the thing fully. Step one.
I thought there's a possibility that maybe you put the long windshield wiper on the short side and the short one on the long side. And
right.
All of a sudden you got like windshield wiper flopping off the side.
Right, right.
No.
Which would have been a mess. Yeah. But again, like, oh, whoops. Silly me. It was as easy as, yeah, the plastic thing that you're very obviously supposed to.
Yeah. That's funny. I think we've all worked jobs where you have... I work sporting goods forever.
Sure.
So, like, if you want to mess with a new hire, you ask him for, like, hey, I need you to go get me a left-handed tennis racket.
Sure.
And yeah. They go and search forever, and then they come back, and they're like, is this the left hand? And you're like, no, it's over there, though.
Yeah.
Keep looking. So I think auto parts, it can be a little bit of that way, especially, like, something like this. Like, you feel bad, like... I don't. When I work grocery, the new hires, you make them go to the salad, the salad dressing aisle, and shake the dressing, and then you take pictures
That's
of them.
So funny
shaking the dressing.
that's really good.
Yeah,
that's a good bit. I don't think it in baseball in high school. A senior when you were a freshman might mess with you and go, hey, can you grab me the keys to the batter's box?
Oh.
They're just in the shed over there. Can you just go grab them? And they just, same kind of deal.
Yeah.
And then dough patches at the pizza place. What somebody does to mess with the new guy is while they're spinning the pizza, they poke their finger through the dough on purpose.
Okay.
And when that happens, you just stretch the dough back together. It's not a...
Yeah.
But they go, the guy goes, oh, hey, can you go get me a dough patch? They're just in the walk-in.
Oh.
And so they send you to look for little pieces of dough to patch. The worst part is my friend that got me that job goes, hey, has anybody asked you to get dough patches yet?
Oh.
And I went, it's a really good friend of mine, Celeste, shout out. And I went, no. And she goes, oh, okay. Didn't go, hey, don't. Didn't go, oh, hey,
left
it's a joke.
Hanging.
Went, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And put it in my brain. So even when it happened, I didn't have a chance to think.
Yeah.
Jerk move. Anyways, the shaking the salad dressing is really funny.
Yeah.
I want to go work at a grocery store just to do that to someone.
Yeah.
That's my plan. I'm going to work at a grocery store. I'm going to work nights.
Work nights.
I'm going to establish myself there as a manager.
Okay.
I will work there for as long as I need to become a manager. And then I will find a new hire. I will fire somebody just to hire a new person.
Okay.
And on day one, let's say your job.
Yeah, it's like the rite of passage.
Right. Is to shake the salad dressing.
You'll get some people to look at you like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
You're like, they will be fired on the spot, and the best, I will hire a new person.
You have to have your phone ready to like record video now.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. We would have videos set up. We would have cameras set up ready to go, ready to film Braxton shaking the salad dressing. He's James and Kyle. We're the insiders. Jiffy Lube is the sponsor. If you need your windshield wipers changed, take your car to Jiffy Lube because they won't forget to take the plastic off.
That's right. Get your oil changed. Get your tires rotated. Get new windshield wipers so
brakes,
you're ready for...
Your air filters.
Yeah. Have them check your... Inspect your brakes.
Yep.
All that stuff.
Which they will. They do a great job. We love Jiffy Lube. I don't love what the 49ers are doing right now. They're making me mad. And I'm trying not to overreact because it's day two of training camp. Pads aren't even on yet.
Mm.
So, in particular... On the offensive line, when pads aren't on, wipe away anything going on. There were reports yesterday that, hey, nobody can block Nick Bosa, and Yeter Gross-Matos is tearing things up. But it's like, yeah, because you can't run into each other. Mm. Nobody's wearing pads.
Yeah.
It's helmets, jersey, and shorts right now. So I take everything through the first couple of days with a grain of salt. It's also insane, though, that you see people posting practice video of Jalen Polk, the rookie from... UW running a route and making a catch and beating whoever the corner was and being like, draft him in fantasy.
Mm.
Make it, get him on, like, off of one catch in practice.
Mm.
I'll wait. Be like, hey, player to watch. Look at this play. Hey, keep an eye on Jalen Polk. Fine. That's fine. But declaring that he's going to be the fantasy pick of the year because he made one catch in practice, relax.
He can go for like, five catches, 125 yards, and two touchdowns in the third preseason game, I'm still not drafting him.
Yeah, yeah. If he's torching it in the preseason and is, and your draft's, I guess, a little bit different because you do a keeper, but if he's tearing it up in the preseason, all the reports out of camp are good, and they have another receiver get hurt. I forget who. Does he play for the Bears? I forget who he even plays for, but. Patriots?
Maybe.
I don't know. Doesn't matter. Whoever he plays for, maybe they need a receiver and he was great. Okay, then maybe you take him in the like last pick just as a flyer. Or third to last round or whatever.
Yeah.
But
deep on your bench, just in case.
Don't overreact to training yet.
Just in case. We do have some small amount of breaking news.
Oh, okay. I have more things to complain about, but please go on.
We'll hit this really quick. According to Shams Charania, former NBA MVP Russell Westbrook is signing a 2-year, $6.8 million contract with the Denver Nuggets. Player option for 25-26. Russ West is back in the NBA after being traded and unceremoniously waived last week. Big news.
Unceremoniously is crazy. He just got waived. They didn't acquire him on purpose. It's not like he's an all-star anymore. He just got waived.
They acquired him just to waive him.
Yeah.
He made his $4 million or whatever.
I'm thinking about getting a Utah Jazz Russell Westbrook jersey, though. I think that would be a fun thing to own.
Okay. You could get like a Sam Cassell Sacramento Kings jersey.
That'd be sick.
Yeah.
Jason Terry?
Larry Hughes,
Warriors legend.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Russell Westbrook's going to have a huge impact for them, but good for him.
Yeah. I guess someone mentioned he's been waived twice by the Utah Jazz. So he is the Utah Jazz's, he is the same as Robin Lopez to the Sacramento Kings. He's been traded for and waived twice.
That's funny.
Yeah.
The thing the Niners are doing. Last season, you and I have talked extensively about this. Their offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
And how they don't invest as much as we think they should in the offensive line. But then you hear Chris Forster, the offensive line coach, talking about it during the offseason. You hear Kyle Shanahan talking about it. And they're basically saying, we can put together an offensive line. It's much harder to put together playmakers.
Yeah.
Which I think is right. I think that's fine. I think that's a good philosophy. But last year, I thought they made a mistake. They handed the right tackle spot to Colton McKivitz. They handed the right guard spot to Spencer Burford. Mm. So the right side of their line was two unproven guys that they said, here's the job. It's yours. No competition. And through 2 days of camp, there has continued to be no competition for those two players, even though Spencer Burford has twice been the starting right guard going into the season and twice lost his job during the season.
Mm.
So, again, it's 2 days. I don't want to overreact. And maybe Nick Wagner from ESPN brought this up. Maybe they just know John Feliciano, who ended up starting there last year, who's back with the team. They know he can play, and they're just giving Burford reps to see if maybe he...
The light bulb goes on.
Yeah. But again, you're not really going to know anything through these first couple of days. So I just can't fathom a world where they ostensibly lost the Super Bowl because of the right side of their offensive line. And I can't fathom another year where they're going to go into the season going, yep, these are our two guys, no competition. That would really frustrate me, man.
It's just really difficult because while that's happening, you got Trent Williams holding out. You got Brandon Ayuk that you're going to have to pay. So I get it. Like, you know, when you have a De'Aaron Fox-size salary,
mm-hmm.
you need a Keon Ellis-size salary. When you yes. have a Domantas Sabonis, you need a corresponding Colby Jones salary.
It's a great comparison.
You know, when you get to the middle, right? So you can have a Harrison Barnes and a Kevin Huerter both making 17, 18, but you can't have a third one. So one of those guys have to go, and you need to bring in another one, which is why Malik Monk all of a sudden is that same exact dollar amount.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't have too many of these specific types of contracts.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes for the NFL. I mean, if you're going to spend $24 million a year, whatever it is, on Trent Williams on the left side,
mm-hmm.
he's eating up at least 60% of the entire offensive line salary.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to build the other positions. And, I mean, it's just the reality of the situation. But you got to hope that you find, like, your version of Keon Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
You need to find someone who's way better than the dollar amount there, you know, again, yeah. Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
You found a guy who's way better than the guy right. who's making $26 million mm-hmm. a year, way better for a million.
Yeah.
You need to find somebody who's better than what you have at right tackle. And unfortunately, I don't know if that they can at this point.
Yeah, like he was fine. And Drew down in the chat says they're going to get Trent's deal worked out. Like, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're not going to go into the season without Trent Williams playing, I promise.
Oh, no. No.
In fact, Trent might be like, I don't want to talk right now. It's July. It's hot out there.
I'll see you in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'll see you before the first preseason game.
Yeah, yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me if that's not how this is going to go. But anyways, Trent Williams will be there, mm-hmm. and I think Brandon Ayuk will be too. But anyways, it's even like McKivitz isn't a bad player. Spencer Burford's not a bad player. It's just that, okay, maybe you're not investing in those positions, but at least put competition together.
Yeah. Sign three of those guys and then waive one of them, whoever's not any good, and have the other one back them up.
Yeah, and I competition is the whole deal in NFL training camp.
Yeah.
Whether it's the 49ers or the Raiders or the Seahawks or the Patriots or whoever. And Fred Warner or Max Crosby or DK Metcalf are not going to have competition for their jobs.
Mm.
Those guys are going to start and be awesome. But if you're in this situation, if you're Devondre Campbell, another Niners starting linebacker, there should be competition for him. There should be competition for Spencer Burford and for Colton McKivitz. There's no reason that those guys should be like, yeah, pencil them and they're going to be starters. So maybe that changes once pads come on and they start getting more players integrated, but we'll see. The other thing that came out from camp yesterday, apparently Jordan Mason can catch now, which makes me wonder if Christian McCaffrey is going to play every snap again or not.
Mm.
There's just kind of the philosophical discussion of should your 28-year-old running back be playing 95% of the offensive snaps? B, there's fantasy implications here.
Yep.
Because McCaffrey, I think, is if not the consensus number one, a consensus top two or three pick.
Of course.
Depending on maybe you hate scoring the 49ers and yeah. you're just not going to take him number one. But I think it's kind of interesting because through the first couple of days, the reports are like, man, Jordan Mason really improved as a receiver. And I think that's been the whole a big reason that McCaffrey hasn't come off the field a lot. Obviously, he's their offensive MVP. He's their best player on that side of the ball without question. But their best skill position player on that side of the ball without question. So I know they probably don't want to take him off the field, but if you can have a close enough facsimile where you don't have to change your offense dramatically, like defenses still have to defend the same kind of things, I think that incentivizes the 49ers to remove him in certain spots, whether it's, yeah, hey, he's been on the field for 11 straight plays. This is a 17-play drive, and he's been on the field for all of them. Let's give him a breather here. Or, hey, it's a 10-point game with 4 minutes left in the third quarter. Okay, we're not going to pull our starters, but we are going to put Jordan Mason in the game for a handful of snaps and let Christian McCaffrey get a few plays off in a row.
I would love to see 75% of the snaps go to McCaffrey over the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be able to get a 75% snap third year and maybe even a 75% snap fourth year.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I don't need to see 100% snaps for 2 years and then he turns to dust and goes away.
Yeah.
Like running backs, there's such a limitation on them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe it's one hit. Maybe it's just like the overall abuse that a guy takes. But at the end of the day, I think that you should be able to steal a certain amount of plays where he's not getting any abuse at all, where he doesn't even have to be on the field sometimes. Sometimes he does just to be a decoy.
Sure.
But I'd like to see a lot more plays where he's a decoy, where he doesn't get hit at all, and he's just running off into the side.
Yeah.
So 75%, maybe 80, maybe 70. Let somebody else take some of those snaps so you can have him for maybe an extra season, maybe two extra seasons.
And I think you can get there just by, like I said, a couple of plays here and there throughout the course of the game. But 8 minutes left, you're up 7, 8, 9, 10 points, whatever it is. They have to find another guy they can trust to make those, to get those tough yards.
Yeah.
To help close games out. Because I think that's just kind of been the problem, is Shanahan doesn't trust anybody else. So maybe Jordan Mason improving as a receiver will get him on the field a little more often and build some trust. I don't know.
Who do we we'll got see. At running back now? We have Elijah Mitchell still there.
Isaac Arendo.
Okay.
Who is a rookie fourth-round pick from Louisville who is already dealing with a hamstring injury. Day one of camp.
Oh, yeah.
Injured his hamstring. He had injury problems in college, too. He started one college game in 6 years. Jordan Mason, third-year undrafted rookie. Patrick Taylor, who was with the Packers the last 3 years, he signed a one-year deal this offseason. He was like a third-down and special teams guy for the Packers.
Okay.
I'm interested to see how much teams alter their team building with the new kickoff rules.
Yeah, I think that's part of that, right?
Yeah, so he might make it just on the strength of that, but I think he's on the outside looking in. And then Cody Schrader, undrafted rookie from Mizzou, who people smarter than me, who watch more college football than me, are like, that guy can play.
Mm.
So it's kind of an interesting thing there. But it's still going to be heavy McCaffrey. I just wonder if some of the goal line touches or some of the red zone touches or some of the carries through the middle of the game start going elsewhere, because like you said, he's 28 now.
Yeah.
And they just guaranteed him more money for the next few years, so they need him to be part of it. They need him to be an effective player.
I hate seeing him run between the tackles all the time.
It's terrifying.
It is. Just like, what are we doing? You know, he's not Marshall Faulk. McCaffrey gets hit. He doesn't get hit all the time. Mm-hmm. Faulk had that ability that it didn't matter how, like where the guy was coming from. He knew at the last second to dive and get out of the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, McCaffrey, he takes a beating.
Yeah. So. Speaking of taking a beating, we just threw NFL Network on this morning. The NFC Championship game's on right now.
Mm.
I had memory hold just how badly the Niners were getting their asses whooped in that game.
Yeah. Early on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just on the score. It wasn't like they were making mistakes. They were just getting punched repeatedly about the head and face.
Yeah. I mean, it's 21-7 late second quarter.
It's 21-7, and like I said, it's not, because sometimes a game will get away from a team where, interception early, and then they fumble the ensuing kickoff, and then there's a penalty on a big play, and the game just kind of gets away from them. That wasn't this. The Lions are going to be good, dude. The Lions are a problem.
No, I think so, too.
I think the Lions are going to be a real problem.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah, they are.
I definitely enjoy watching them. You know, they're a team that for some reason, you watch a lot of them because they're the early game. You know, like if you're waiting to watch Niners at 1 o'clock, their Lions are almost always playing at 10.
Mm-hmm.
So you do get a lot of viewing time of them.
Well, and I mean, look at that. Third and 12, untouched, Jahmyr Gibbs goes 12 yards in a first down.
He's going to be a problem.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's going to be super fun this year. Talk about a fantasy guy. That's where you need to put all your eggs in that basket right there.
That play right there, the third and 12 toward the end of the second quarter where Gibbs went untouched for 12 yards and a first down. Just on a handoff. It's an outside handoff.
It's a left sweep.
That was I looked over. I think it was Larry Kruger sitting next to me. I was like, that's ball game, dude. Like, they got nothing.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I can't believe they won that game. The Lions were the better team. That's nuts. All right. We got a break. We got the handoff coming up next. Well, not next, but in about 15 minutes. It's a KC day. And there's something that we need to talk about with Kenny. Because Dak Prescott apparently hates Cowboys fans.
Mm.
And I'm really interested to get Kenny's take on that. So he'll be in here for the handoff. Can't wait to talk to him about that. And what the Chicago Bears coach did, Matt Eberflus, to turn around his perception is insane.
Wild.
And I want to get your thoughts on this as a media member. And of course, if you're in the chatty house, I want your thoughts on this as fans. How the Bears coach has changed his image without doing anything. We'll tell you what it is next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm there, Kyle Madsen here. Thanks, everybody, listening on ESPN 1320. Maybe you're on the free Odyssey app. Thank you so much for listening there. And, of course, everybody hanging out with us in the chatty house at twitch.tv/ESPN1320 and youtube.com/ESPN1320. We appreciate you all immensely. Had some mild news, not breaking. Cracking news?
Yeah, okay. That might make sense.
A little fracture?
Yeah. According to Shams Charania.
Well, bruise news?
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
Free agent forward Kessler Edwards, formerly of the Sacramento Kings, has agreed to a two-way NBA contract with the Dallas Mavericks. Edwards has averaged 3.5 points, 11.9 minutes a game over three NBA seasons. Kessler is in his fourth year. He's going into his fourth year. So he's still eligible for two-way contract, which is kind of surprising. Because I thought it was the Harry Giles rule, where if you lost 1 year, maybe I'm wrong. I thought you could only be 3 year. Maybe it's four. Yeah.
I'm bummed Kessler Edwards never worked out here.
Yeah.
I was high on the idea. I really liked the idea. I liked the idea the same way I liked the Orlando Robinson idea. You see the vision.
Well, yeah. And I think it's the same with like Jalen McDaniels, right? Like these are player archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
You're hoping that at some point you stumble across like the great version of, but I don't know. I don't think Kessler is one of those guys that, number one, worked out. Like he came into camp last year and was in such great shape. I mean, like, and the coaches raved about him. They're like, hey, we need you to lift that. Like, okay, how many times? He's just like, he run through a brick wall. You tell him what to do and he does it.
Yeah.
But at some point, you have to translate what all that work you're doing in the off season and what you're doing behind the scenes to a functionality on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, he wasn't able to earn the trust of the coaching staff to get him on the court enough to, you know, get his opportunity.
Yeah, that's always the tough thing when you have a good team, right? Or a team that is trying to contend.
Yeah.
It's the same problem Golden State had with a guy like James Wiseman. And I think Kessler Edwards falls in that same bucket where that player needs to play. To find out what that player can do, they need to play more often. But the problem is the reason they need to play is because right now they're not very good.
Yeah.
And the only way to get them to potentially be better is to get them on the court. But if you're getting them on the court, you're sacrificing potentially winning.
Yeah.
That's a tough line to walk.
And I think Kessler, he stumbled upon this other problem, was that when he got to the Kings, it was, you know, right before they drafted Keegan Murray. So you had him and Keegan, and the Kings are putting all of their eggs in the Keegan Murray basket and not, well, I guess he got traded to the Kings in the middle of Keegan's rookie season.
Right.
But the Kings were putting all their eggs into the basket that is Keegan Murray. And then you also had this other kid, Keon Ellis, kind of step up and become something bigger. You're only going to give a certain amount of minutes to young players.
Yeah, exactly.
And those guys ate all those minutes. And and they're not, you know, there's no shame in that. And there's no reason for those guys to feel bad. This is the dynamic of the NBA. You know, when opportunity knocks, you better be ready to answer it. And you know, Kessler should have got those opportunities, but clearly there's a reason why he didn't. So, like, again,
well, you could see we talked about it.
Yeah,
we were at a game that he played, and I forget exactly what game it was, but what you could tell there was just a hesitancy to his game,
and it made him mechanical.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
and that's you can't. The Kings are trying to compete for a playoff spot.
Yeah,
you can't. Sorry. Keon Ellis figured out a role and played it really well. Keegan Murray stepped on the league and was a rotation player and a starter on a playoff team day one.
Yeah.
It's not Kessler's fault. It's just kind of the reality of it.
Well, that
if the Kings were a 25-win team, I'm sure he would have played a lot more.
No, totally. And we've talked about this in the this week, you know, like anxiety. Like you walk on, like I've never been someone who like has anxiety, and that's okay. Like that's my life and everyone else is different, but you can see when a player steps on the court and they're in their head and they're thinking, and on an NBA court, when there's 17,000-18,000 people watching, plus a bunch of people at home, plus a bunch of media members, plus a bunch of other people, you can watch somebody who doesn't look comfortable, who you can sense their anxiety right away. Like if he would have got, you know, a couple of 8-minute stints in a game to get comfortable, I think we would have seen him progress.
Sure.
The problem is the first 2 minutes, if you're not ready, you're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's it.
We're not going to lose a game because you're not ready, bro.
That's it.
And so I hope that he figures that out. And again, it's just about getting comfortable and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, it's possible the Kings could have sent him down for a lot more time at the G League level last year. Mm-hmm. They did it a couple of times throughout the season, but it wasn't very much. And it was more like get him practice time. I would have liked to have seen him spend, you know, a good 20 games down there just to get comfortable and get ramped up. Because, like, look, he has the length athleticism that we keep talking about.
In theory, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, 6'8", 7'3", wingspan, ripped, like, very good athlete, worked on his three-point shot, all of those things. Good kid, mm-hmm. stayed out of trouble, you know, like, all those things. Like, there should have been a way for him, but sometimes it doesn't work out somewhere, and you got to figure it out somewhere else.
Maybe going to Dallas will help.
Yeah.
Like, PJ Washington, they had Derek Jones Jr. there.
Yeah.
You show him, here's what Derek Jones Jr. did. Go do that. And maybe it works out for him.
Yeah.
So, man, we're joking about this at the break. First, Klay Thompson, now Kessler Edwards. Dallas just stacking up franchise legends.
Stacking up. That's right.
Matt Eberflus. Fascinating story in ESPN. I encourage you, go read it. Kaylin Kaler, I believe, is her name. I believe that's how you pronounce her name. Kaylin wrote this piece about Matt Eberflus, not a super popular guy among Bears fans last year.
Mm-hmm.
They retained him this year. Over the offseason, he got a haircut. He grew out his beard. And he got media training.
Mm.
And it's so fascinating. So there's a bunch of things I want to get to. I care less about the Chicago Bears aspect of this and more about the coach changing the way he is presenting to the media aspect of this and the fact that it's working. Photos of him came out with his new haircut and beard, and people immediately, and she highlights this in the story, all the different comments of how, oh, the Bears are back, and oh, bearded Matt Eberflus is coach of the year, and da 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 da. Like, just off the strength of a haircut and a beard, he got some people on his side, which is wild. But one of the things I thought was really interesting. So if you remember, Matt Eberflus last year had this issue with presenting Justin Fields' availability. And in that presser, he said he was out, even though they'd listed him as doubtful. And then he said, well, he's not out, but he hasn't been medically cleared, but there's a good chance he will be. But he's doubtful, but it's like a 51% chance he played. It was chaos.
Yeah.
His answer. And after that, he went and got media training, which I was fascinated by the fact that an NFL coach who has so many different things going on, you hear coaches staying at the facility 20, 21, 22 hours a day. They've got all these things going on, and he is taking time out to go train with PR people and media people to make sure that when he is doing press conferences, he is presenting himself better, because that would put him in a better position to stay the Bears coach. That is crazy.
That's wild.
It's working. Good for him. Big thumbs up. Wishing him all the success. But
okay.
I guess I've never thought about it.
Okay, yeah. But see, I've covered 9 head coaches in Sacramento.
That's so many head coaches.
It's so many head coaches. 9 head coaches. And each of those head coaches have, like, their own way of doing things, their own way of doing business. And I've said this before, and I think people take this the wrong way, but getting a new head coach when you're a media member is kind of like when you're at your job and you get a new boss. And because look, I think there's something that people don't understand that's not there. A head coach, like, controls, like, where you have press conferences, like the access on certain days, how many practices, all of these things that head coach controls. And you need to figure out your head coaches, and it happens pretty quickly if you're intuitive and you understand, like, people and dynamics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you need to act as if they're your boss, but you need to, like, crack them in that way.
Interpersonal communication.
Yeah. I mean, we've all had, you know, you work for a company and all of a sudden a new boss comes in and he's like, okay, hey, we're not doing the 8 to 5 anymore. We're doing 9 to 6 from here on out. And everybody's like, they groan and they complain. And then 2 weeks in, everyone has complained to him personally. And next thing you know, you're back to 8 to 5, right? There's all of these things you have to figure out. And the example I usually give when I talk about this is some head coaches think that their starting lineup is literally the most top secret thing of all time. So if De'Aaron Fox isn't playing tonight, who's going to start in his place?
Good luck.
Well, you know, you'll see that when the starting lineups come out at 6:30. Like, okay, you're not going to tell us? No. Other coaches walk in like, hey, De'Aaron Fox is out tonight. Keon Ellis is starting. And you just go.
Right.
So there, but you have to understand that, like, if you're not there every day and we know De'Aaron Fox isn't going to play, we stop asking the question about who's going to start. But then some other new guy can show up and go, hey, who's going to start tonight? And we all just look at him like, well, he's not answering that question. So, like, there are these nuances to every coach and stuff. So I get the media training thing. That probably should have been something that he had long before he got to the NFL level, the NFL head coaching level. There mm-hmm. should have been media training for him at some point.
Right.
There's only one coach in all the time in Sacramento that I've covered that didn't get along with the media and was just like angry and pissed the whole time and had got into like pissing matches with every mm-hmm. single media member that he possibly could. And that was George Karl.
Yeah.
And that was just George.
Of course.
Outside of that, like there's a head coach in Sacramento that I thought he like always was trying to think of what was going wrong. Mm-hmm. And then he would tell us that I figured it out. I understand what's going wrong and blah, blah, blah. And never knew how to fix whatever was going wrong. He knew how to, he eventually would come to the conclusion of what was going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the next step of fixing what was going wrong, never quite had that one in his bag.
So, I've identified it. How are you going to fix it? Nah.
Then, I had head coaches that had absolutely no players.
Yeah.
But I also, like, my first head coach, Paul Westfall, super good with the media. Like, he and I would go out to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
We had a personal relationship when he passed away. It, very, very sad.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, we had a good relationship where years after he was no longer the coach, we still text. We still would communicate, yeah. You know. And I can say that for a really large portion of the head coaches in Sacramento. Like, mm-hmm. I still communicate with them. On not a daily basis, but on a monthly or every 6 months when Bill Walton passed, like me and Luke Walton had plenty of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're a huge part of what your job is. Mm-hmm. So if you can't connect to the media, if you mm-hmm. can't connect to the media and through the media, the fan base,
mm-hmm.
then there's a huge problem and you're going to get run out of town.
I think, I think the reason this stuck out to me so much was I think with Mike Brown specifically.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Brown is so good at media.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, I need to be careful with this. I don't mean that in the sense of, oh, he's good to media people. He's nice to them personally. He is, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about the way he presents things in the media.
Yeah.
Where he explains, this is what we're coaching. This is what we did wrong. This is what we need to be doing. I tried to imagine last Kings season where they're winning two fewer games and the vibes are bad. If they had a head coach who was going out there and stumbling over his answers all the time and being crotchety and mean and just overall combative or not even that, maybe just didn't have good explanations.
Yeah.
Just looked unsure of himself. I think last season gets perceived so much differently, even though everything behind the scenes, everything on the court, everything in practice could be going exactly the same way. But the way he presents to the media, I think we would have discussed the season last year much better if Mike Brown wasn't as adept as he is at media.
Well, yeah, and that lasts for a season of subpar basketball. The next season, like this season, it is crucial for Mike mm-hmm. Brown.
Definitely, no matter what he does in the media.
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, in the media, if the team doesn't turn around and start growing, mm-hmm. start getting better,
the questions begin to get tougher and tougher and tougher.
Definitely.
That's just the way it goes. Sure. So like the nice guy, the like, hey, everything is great, all that stuff, the rah-rah guy, it works until it doesn't.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're going to face that this season. I think that they're going to be much better, but it's just one of those things that happens. And
I sure hope so. Kenny Caraway in the building. Kenny, we've been saving something for you all day.
Oh, man, yeah. I can't wait.
Did you see what Dak Prescott said?
No.
He got asked what he says to Cowboys fans who are still frustrated about how last season ended.
Okay.
He said, quote, "Be fans or don't be fans. If you're a fan, you're going to turn the page just as we do. You're going to move forward, understanding that you have better ahead of you. Sorry, obviously, but it hurts us more than it did them. Obviously, it's on us to get back and to do better, but yeah, move on."
I mean, there's a lot of what he said that I understand.
Like, definitely.
I, a lot of times when you talk about life in general, mm-hmm. right, and you talk about the past, you can learn from it. You can try to get better, but there ain't nothing you can do about it.
Sure.
Like, there's nothing Dak Prescott or the Cowboys can do about the way last season ended.
Yeah, for sure.
So, what is there to, you got to move on.
But can you imagine, you just recently, within the last couple of weeks, you're like, okay, I'm good to talk about football again.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine if you ran into Brock Purdy and you were like, man, I'm hurting right now. If you'd ran into him in March, said, man, it stings, you know, and he went, move on. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, it would be, but he'd be right. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'd be right. Like, I may not like it. I may not, like, hey, man, how can you say that? But he'd be right. Like, you gotta move on. At this point, though, like, if they asked him that in March,
mm-hmm.
maybe I'd feel different. But at this point, it's like, yeah, it's time for a new season.
It's time
to keep moving.
This is why I wanted to have you in this discussion, because you're the guy who has the Niners with 11 titles.
12, yeah.
11 or 12, Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, 12, maybe 11.
The trophies. Yeah, you have them all lined up. So you don't move on. And I think fans, like, it's okay for fans not to move on. It's okay for, like, I think it's always interesting when we start talking about the Niners and Kyle goes to, like, he starts flipping through the Rolodex. Like, okay, then the 2019 season when they did this, and this, and they fell apart here, and you're like, okay, I don't remember seasons like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like, especially with King seasons, it's a blur.
16 versus 82 games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So and like, even when someone can pull up the recollection of a specific game, like, okay, I'm not there. That's not how my brain works. It's how other people. But I, you know, there are fans that are like you. There are media members that are like you that catalog, like, how many times you should have won.
Right.
Yeah.
But the difference with that, though, is, like, I remember it, and they should have won and all this other stuff, but I'm not asking Brock Purdy to remember that. I'm not asking Brock Purdy to, like, dwell on what happened last year. Like, no. Like, please don't. Like, I want you to be locked in on what you're doing moving forward.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And even then, like, even in its simplest form, me saying they should have won this and that, Super Bowl or whatever, it ain't got nothing to do with this year.
No
it
doubt.
It ain't got nothing to do with this year. So,
But also the Cowboys have fallen short every year. Like, you got to understand at some point.
So what should he have said?
Like, we understand their frustration for sure. We're right there with them. And then it's on us to, you know, do our best and get back there and have a better result this time. We're glad to have their backs. We want to go out there and perform for them.
That's fair.
We'll try to do more, and they need to pay me more.
But being like, hurts us more than them, move on.
I wouldn't have to say the quiet part out loud. I wouldn't have said that. Because look, I don't even know if we know that. Remember? Because now we're having this whole discussion. Remember last time, who was it that we were just talking about contracts? And we're like, I think we might have been talking about Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
And their first priority in this game is to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Not to win.
No doubt.
A lot of players. Mm-hmm. And Dame was like, there's a lot more people like that than you realize. If we're talking about it in a fan sense, their first priority with that team is for them to win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Not seeing this guy get paid.
No doubt.
So, like, nah, Dak, maybe it doesn't hurt you more than it hurts some of these guys. Like,
good point.
Because, Dak, you going to take less so you have a better chance to win a Super Bowl? No, you're not. That doesn't mean you don't care about winning, mm-hmm. but you care about your pocket first.
Mm-hmm.
There's that.
Dang. That's tough. I saw Jeremy Barfield, I think is his name. He was a really active member of Twitter when he was with the A's organization. Mm-hmm. Said, anybody who says they would play professionally for free has never been paid to play.
That's dang. Jesse Barfield's son.
Yes,
yeah.
That's it.
You ain't going to pay for free.
Yeah,
you ain't going to play for free. But
we have 40 seconds, by the way. I'm not letting you guys start your show 2 minutes late.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, there's certain things that I do feel like sometimes you got to do for the team. You can't take everybody can't take all the money.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
But also, I'm very much advocating for every player to take all the money.
Take all the money you get. Yeah.
And you can do that. You might not win. You got to understand that.
Yeah.
If you understand that and you're good with it, then cool.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. I'm not even going to ask you what you guys are doing today because the answer is always the same. Vibing. Having a conversation. And it's going to be a ton of fun. They're hanging out with you until 4 o'clock. James and I are done for the weekend. We will be back with you on Monday at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice to people.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.